I'll admit that I never thought a heavy metal listening, truck driving, motorcycle riding guy could be as thoughtful and self-reflective about his own life journey as today's guest, Carson Dutt. Raised in the 70s and 80s as your AC/DC-loving rebellious teen, Carson walks us through how he rejected religion to now how he all-out embraces and loves God. He gets honest about facing depression and suicidal thoughts, to finding the love of his life, what made him angry in church and what made him want to run out the door, to how he eventually was begging to be baptized. Let's have a listen. Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. And today I'll be interviewing Carson Dutt. And Carson has been going to Emmanuel for just about 3 years. And just before we started this interview, he let me know that it's been 1 year and a day almost since he was baptized at Emmanuel in the lake with Pastor Jeff. So welcome, Carson, to our podcast today.
Thank you.
I'd like to start, like I normally do, with all the people that are on the podcast with your, you know, when and where were you born and maybe a little bit of your very young childhood life, your family dynamic, and if you can tell us about that.
Yeah, I was born in Richmond. December 30th, 1972. My childhood was a good childhood. I remember as a young child going to Sunday school at a young age, which didn't last too long though. My parents got involved in scuba diving, and once my parents got involved in scuba diving, it was now every weekend going with them all over the place for scuba diving.
The new religion.
Yes, it was. But that gave a great childhood for my brother and I. It was always exploring new places. I remember if you've ever been down to North Van, there's a White Cliff Park. And when Mom and Dad were under the water scuba diving, my brother and I are playing on the playgrounds and exploring and doing rock climbing and stuff like that. And then we'd go to the States. My parents would go to the Keystone in the States all over the place. And my dad actually got into teaching diving at one point. And my mom and dad were just very active people. So we were always busy as a family, but I went to Sunday school for a little bit, but that stopped. All right. So unfortunately, it didn't continue, but being raised in the 70s, 80s, there was known to have, it was okay, we got to, should send him to church or to Sunday school or something like that. But there was no actual structure. I found myself in the early 80s as a young child. I remember seeing church on TV.
Evangelism, televangelism.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the word I'm looking for. For me and for my family at the time, it was some of that stuff that was said on those TV shows were, kind of not necessarily fake, but kind of whoa, what is that, a cult?
Showy, very showy, right?
Yes, yeah. And so I was kind of raised to be standoffish of that kind of stuff. Mm. Not to be against religion, not to not believe in God, right? But to kind of be standoffish from it. Because you see that stuff where they come up and they're in a wheelchair and they go, heals you. And then they get out of their wheelchair and they're all walking around and praise the Lord, hallelujah. And you're going, come on, what is this? And so, in the 80s, you had the Jimmy Swaggart stuff too. And
yeah, I grew up with Jimmy Swaggart in the household.
Yeah, so, and the stuff that happened with that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It wasn't that don't believe in God, don't be an atheist, mm-hmm. but just be very careful of that.
Right.
But my grandfather was a Baptist. I do recall always asking him about the Bible. And I do remember seeing him get baptized. It was very significant for me that way, right? Because mm-hmm. he was a good man. Him and I were very, very close.
Hmm. So he got baptized at an older age too?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
And did he give his testimony like you did in front of the...
He did at the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember going to it. I think I was in my teens.
Right.
It was so long ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But my grandfather passed away when I was about 20-ish. Mm-hmm. It was a neat thing to see. Because, you know, him and I were very close. Mm-hmm. And where I am now on my faith journey, I know he'd be so proud just to see how far I've come and see how far it's happened. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I know. He was a great man. Mm-hmm. This is my mom's dad.
Okay.
And so we were very close.
What's the family heritage? Are you all Canadian?
My dad was born in London, England.
Oh, okay.
He has an older brother that's unfortunately passed away now. And my grandma and grandpa were living in London. So when my dad was 7 years old, they moved from London over here. Right, and they moved to Richmond. Mm-hmm. And so that's how that happened. My grandfather, on my mom's side, was born in like Germany, Russia area. There's mm-hmm. a little town there. I forget the name of it, unfortunately, but it's no longer. Now that things have changed chronologically, that little town is kind of gone now.
Right, yeah.
But he immigrated over here as well. So, my mom and dad met in high school. Mm. They started dating when they were 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And still together today.
And still together.
That's incredible.
Yeah, 55 years now.
That's amazing. Married. Wow.
55 years married.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing.
And so are you the oldest or the youngest brother?
I am the oldest.
Okay.
I have a brother that's 3 years younger than me.
Okay. So what were your teen school years like?
Rebellious.
Let's get into it.
As a young man, like in elementary school, I didn't have, I fit in, but I was the tall, lanky, skinny kid that kind of, because my late birthday being December 30th,
right.
I ended up starting kindergarten when I was 4 instead of 5. Mm-hmm. And that provided some challenges as it was. And so I was, I was a tall, skinny kid that kind of struggled in school a little bit. I had friends, but I didn't always fit in, you know? And so my elementary school years were, as far as school-wise goes, they weren't the greatest, mm-hmm. right? But as far as like family and my personal life with my brother and other friends, those are great. Playing in the back alley and having, you know, BMX bikes and building ramps and going out with my parents scuba diving.
Sounds better than school, frankly.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I always struggled in school.
Yeah.
Okay. I always struggled in school. I had some tough times, right? Mm-hmm. They just... it wasn't that great. Because it was grade 1-7 was elementary, and then junior high was 8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. At junior high, my life opened up a little more. I was back then. I had like long hair, and I wore like the skin tight jeans, and you know, I was the Mac Jack and listening to heavy metal music, and you know, AC/DC, Anthrax, Metallica, you know. Didn't really have any religious background or faith to go on, mm-hmm. right? Because that's the way I was kind of raised up or anything, but that's how I was. I kind of got into what, maybe it's the wrong crowd, but you're just trying to fit in. You're young.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until we moved to Delta in grade 11 and 12, North Delta,
okay.
that my whole world opened up.
Hmm.
Because I left all that behind. And it was like a new book, a new page.
Hmm.
No one knew my past. No one knew my history. You know, like, because like I wasn't that tall, lanky, skinny kid anymore that everyone loved and picked on.
Right.
No one knew me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was starting my whole new
book. But it's hard being the new kid, too. It can be.
But yeah, but I got in with the right crowd.
Okay.
I met the right people. And I am, to this day, in contact with most of my friends that I from high school.
Wow.
And most of them actually live up here now.
Oh.
So it's quite...
I grew up in the Lower Mainland too, and now I'm here.
Yeah, so it's quite awesome, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, okay. So grade 11, 12 were going well, and school was okay, and you made it through, graduated.
Yep, graduated in 91.
What was the deal then? You were 18 and leaving home right away, or...?
I lived at home for... When I graduated, my parents were quite proud of me. They were like, yeah, okay, you know, that you graduated right on. I really didn't know what I was going to do with my life after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in my graduation ceremony speeches, there was a thing there in the saying that I wanted to be a chef. And now why that I said that, I have no idea. Because I took foods, I liked cooking, but as far as becoming a chef, no. Right? The idea of going back to school for more schooling was like, I don't think so.
No.
I'll be honest, I graduated by the skin of my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I was never that great in school. So, and I was more interested with popularity and hanging out and making all these new friends I had. And unfortunately, forgive me, I'm skipping out, right? But I did graduate, but it barely, right? So it was one of those things where if I could go back in time, yeah, I would have put my nose to the grindstone a little more, right? But then that would, I would change everything that the way our life has begun, right? So,
yeah.
So I got into, after I graduated, I started working right away. And
what'd you do?
I started working for a friend of my father's, for a company called Munsey Mechanical, and they were a plumbing outfit. So I was basically his gopher. But he had plans of possibly getting me on an apprenticeship, but it just never panned out. So then I started getting on with a couple of moving companies. And then from there, I got into a moving company called Ray's Moving and Storage. And the gentleman I worked for was an owner-operator. And when they weren't doing household moves, they used to do deliveries for a company called The Rock Furniture. And it was very similar to The Brick.
Okay.
And so we would go deliveries for The Rock. We'd be subcontracted out by The Rock to do these deliveries of household furniture. So we got on with them, and I was basically the swamper, right? And I had to help out, load the truck and everything, deliver this furniture. Well, after about a year or so of me doing that, The Rock actually approached me and says, hey, you want to come work for us instead of work for him? So I was like, okay. And I worked for them for 5 years, and that's what got me into driving truck.
Okay.
So I started to drive truck, and I worked for them for 3 or 4 years. During that time, the company bought a truck that was on air ride assist, and no one could drive it because no one had a license for it. So I applied for that, which got me to get my Class 3 license, which then got me to get my Class 3 trucker's license. And then I went from there to another company, and then to a company called Roofmart, and delivered roofing shingles and driving truck. And it was, So
basically local truck driving?
Yeah, just local delivery truck driving. But I moved out when I was about 19, 20.
Okay.
I moved out on my own with a buddy of mine. And I'm very close with my family, so I still kept in touch with mom and dad all the time. It wasn't like one of those things where I'm moving out, never talking to you guys again. Yeah. No, I was very close with them.
That's great. That's great.
That's one thing I've always cherished with my mom and dad. My dad, he's my dad. But and many times in my life, he was my friend as well as my dad. I could tell him anything, literally anything. And he would sit and listen and, depending on what it was, right? But there would be consequences in our lives if we did things wrong, right? Yeah. But, my parents and I were always close.
Yeah.
And I love it. Same with my brother. My brother and I are very close as well.
Yeah. So what would you describe as your state of mind during that time of truck driving, young, living with a roommate?
Yeah.
What about relationships or things that you were interested in that maybe?
I've always been interested in motorcycling.
Okay.
Right. But I didn't own a bike then. I didn't buy my first bike till I was 26. Just at the time, you're just working and, and then on weekends you're having fun. You're going out to parties with your friends or, at that time, because I was now legal, I was going to nightclubs and having fun at nightclubs and, doing stuff like that. But it was just, this is your life. This is what you do, right? As far as church and faith and everything, that just wasn't part of my life right then. It was not the idea of going to church. Like, no, thanks. Not my thing. I'm not going to spend my Sunday sitting down in a church, right? But during that time, as I got into my 20s, my early 20s, my dad retired. My dad was 28 years from Richmond Fire Department. So he was a long time in the fire department. When he retired, as he was getting close, he was seeking some kind of faith or seeking some kind of religion, looking into it. And he had gone to, checking out Buddhism. He checked out baptism or Catholic or other things, and he just wanted to find out the reason of, why, And so he was having some issues because when he retired, shortly after he retired, he had a stroke due to a snowboarding accident. He ended up talking to the fire department chaplain, about your, you know, origin and everything. And he was having some issues because they wanted to do some, after he had a stroke, he had a basically a cyst that happened in his brain. Hmm. And when he, because he was snowboarding and he got cut off and he fell down and hit his head. And later on, he just felt like kind of jarred and, you know, what happened. But I think it was a couple of days later, the cyst grew on one of the blood vessels in his brain. Mm-hmm. And then it broke off. Mm-hmm. And that gave him the stroke.
Right, right.
And he recovered from that. But after he recovered, they wanted to do some tests and look inside his brain more and, you know, check to see if there's anything else in there. And the doctor at the time was saying that, forgive me, Dad, if I got the story wrong here, because I just was talking to my dad about this a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And at the time, he was nervous about getting the operation because it could lead to this or lead to that, lead to this.
Right.
And that's why he went and talked to the chaplain. He wasn't involved in faith yet. Mm-hmm. But from what I remember my dad telling me, he left there kind of, he had so much worry and anxiety on him. He was like hunched over and just worried and everything. And he didn't know. And after he had the meeting with the chaplain, they suggested, hey, you ever thought of religion there, Alec? You know, maybe you should talk to God about what's going on. Hmm. And my dad thought about it and going, wow, okay. So from what the story my dad told me was that when he left there, he was driving home. And he was very distraught because he didn't know what to do and how to do the operation. He was scared. And he basically kind of was driving home and looked up at the sky and went, okay, God, you know, if you're here and you're listening, you know what's happening with my life right now. I could really use an answer. Mm-hmm. All right, I could really use some help here. And at that point in time, he said, all right, that it was like God was like right beside him. Like right there, like he could look over and say, boom.
Hey, yeah, wow.
And he didn't know what God was saying to him, but all of a sudden his anxiety was gone. His fear was gone. His, you know, the worries were gone. Everything was gone. It was calm. It was peace. Hmm. And it was like, and it was this clear picture came over him to, I'm doing the surgery. Because no matter what, I'm taken care of. My family will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. My kids will be taken care of. My wife will be taken care of. I'm going to do this. And it was like God spoke to him, like, and that was it. So my dad told me this story like what, 2 weeks ago. And while he was telling me, his hair stood up on his arm. He was, because it was just somewhat emotional. I didn't realize that's the reason he got into faith. But because I was telling him I was coming onto your podcast.
Okay.
And I was, when I remembered him telling me that, the story, because I wanted to know how.
Yeah.
And I said, what if this comes up? Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's how my dad got into faith.
That's incredible.
And it was, yeah. So with everything my dad does, he jumps in 110%.
Yeah.
So I was in my early 20s at this time. Okay. Right. It was one of those things where my dad jumped in full on. He was so taken with religion and faith and all that stuff that myself being in the young 20s and everything, every time I saw him, he wanted to talk about God and the experience he's had. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him. But myself, being raised up in 70s and 80s, being told to be standoffish.
Right.
And woo, right?
Yeah, no more woo.
Right? And now it's like he's into 100%. And wow. I'm going, okay. You know, so it actually kind of, not intentionally, but pushed me away even further.
Right.
Right. And yeah. It's not that my dad, that was not what my dad was trying to do. Right. He was trying to make me like, you got to see what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. You got to feel the love of the God and Jesus and the faith. And
it's just an excitement. You just want to share it. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And I always describe my dad as one of those reformed smokers because he quit. Everyone else has to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, so I, so going forward, he was full on with the church. He's a Mennonite Brethren, right? They got involved with CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association.
Oh, wow, okay.
Right? He was also, he did that, and he also got in, when Hurricane Katrina happened, my dad was part of the...
Like a relief team that went in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Helped rebuild homes and everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, he was in Gulfport.
Okay.
Right. So it was actually really neat. So yeah. So going forward, as my dad got into faith and everything and all that stuff, my life completely changed, because my dad was always, not to say pushing religion, but there was a strong faith background. And my mom loved it because my mom was raised with my grandfather as the Baptist.
Right.
Right. And not that she was never out of faith either. She always believed in the God and in Jesus and all that stuff, but she just never, because their lives were so busy, mm-hmm. same thing kind of happened, right?
Mm-hmm. That's the difference when the Holy Spirit finally comes in.
Yes.
Right? It's not just the head space of Jesus and God that I believe in. It's like this fresh,
like I said,
exciting
we're never raised
to share.
Atheist by mm-hmm. any means.
Okay.
Right? It just wasn't part of our life at the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was very interesting. But like I said, it kind of pushed me away. So I was in my early 20s, mm-hmm. right?
You're like, that's good for you, Dad, but not good for me just yet, now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what was next then for you?
I was working full time. When I was about 28, met my first wife. And at the time, I was at that age where, okay, everyone around me is getting married. Everyone's already got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'm 29 going, time to settle down, right? So I thought I was doing the right thing.
Right.
Got married. She was Catholic. So the idea of getting married into a religious kind of background, because her aunt was a nun. Uncle was a priest.
So not just a Catholic by being raised Catholic, and here I am, I call myself Catholic, but very much part of the family involvement.
She necessarily didn't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as time progressed, I realized the Catholic religion was just not for me,
mm-hmm.
right? Not that there's anything wrong with it,
because mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people that love the Catholic religion. It just, at the time, just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got married and everything, we didn't go to church.
Okay.
Like, we went to church on special holidays.
See, any Christians, they say, right?
Yeah, Christmas and Easter. Like Easter and, and the odd gathering, and we'd, but that would be it.
It'd just feel a little bit foreign because it wasn't a regular
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We didn't pray at dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
Eating at the dinner table didn't even happen.
Okay.
Right? It just wasn't. My parents would still try to talk religion and still put, not necessarily, sorry, forgive me. They weren't pushing it on me. They were just would always try to pray that I follow the right path. It would eventually happen for me.
Right.
So they prayed on me and my family for years.
Hmm.
It never happened when I was with my first wife.
Okay. So how long were you married then? Or did you have kids?
Yeah, we have two kids. I got two boys.
Okay.
My oldest just graduated. So he's 17 now.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest, he's 14.
Okay.
Yeah. So they currently live with their mother. Her and I separated in 2016. So that was a difficult time in my life. It wasn't a separation where, hey, this isn't working, you go your way, I go my way. Unfortunately, there was some court and some battles and things like that, and it just didn't work out. Our marriage was going downhill for years, and I could see it, friends could see it, tried to make it work, but unfortunately it just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2016, we split, and like I said, it wasn't the greatest breakup, but it was a difficult time in my life. I had some things go on that some depression kicked in. I was living on my own. Unfortunately, I wasn't seeing my children. And it was tough. It was really tough. And I had some times there in my life where I was like contemplating the thought of, ending it kind of thing, because you're lonely. I was living in the Okanagan. I moved up here in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved up here from Alder Grove in 2008 because my job at the time was expanding from the coast up here. They offered me the opportunity. I decided to take it because it was the Okanagan. Come on.
Yeah.
Right? So I decided to do that part of it. And at the time, it was just made sense because my ex-wife there, her family lived up here.
Okay.
So closer for her and made sense. I always wanted to live up here. Mm-hmm. Well, let's do this.
Right. Oh, so you moved up before you split?
Oh, yeah, yeah, in yeah, Okanagan. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I split in 2016. I moved up here in 2016.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so then you were living alone and working your job and just day to day trying to deal with
the new life. Yeah, living the new life. I did try the whole dating thing out, and you're 44 or 43, 44, and you're like, well, what do I do now? I don't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. But, tried the dating thing, and that was the way I went about it was just wrong. It was just, unfortunate. You gotta learn, right? But it's funny. I look back on the things now, and I truly see that God had my whole life planned out. I just didn't realize it then.
Mm, hindsight.
Like, I did mm-hmm. not know. I did not realize it because I didn't realize how much God's influence is until it hits you, right? And
until you're in a relationship with him too, and then suddenly you can see where he was that whole entire time.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was amazing. Mm. I dated here and there, and just kind of lived life and tried to get through what I was going through with my ex and my children. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to meet somebody, and I knew I wanted to, at the time, never wanted to get married. Not a chance. No way.
That was a sour taste left.
Yeah. I was like, I never get married again. I just want to meet that right person, have a relationship, and then, that's it. Mm-hmm. But I knew as much to know that if I met somebody, I wanted them to have some sort of faith. If I met somebody and they told me they were an atheist, I wouldn't date them. I wouldn't go out with them. I'm not going to bother. Mm-hmm. So I had that background going, okay, this is what I would like. But if you don't believe in faith or religion, I'm sorry, right? Mm-hmm. But yet I wasn't going to church yet. I hadn't been baptized. I hadn't, I wasn't going to, I just...
Why do you think that was? Why was that something you desired then? Because your first wife would have had faith and religion and...
I think just the way I was raised, just the morals, right?
You still had that family core that you wanted to be.
Starting off with the Bible, the Sunday school, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing my grandfather have faith, and then just having the close family togetherness, right? And then, the odd time, doing prayers and stuff like that. And then when my dad got into faith as I got older, right, just seeing how his life changed and everything and how in church involved his life. I wanted that because...
It was a nice thing that you had, right? You knew the difference, the feeling of having that versus not having that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew that.
Yeah.
That's all I knew, right? I went, like I said, when I would visit my... during the time of once I split with my ex to current, I see my parents more now than I ever did. Hmm. When I was married to my first wife, I didn't see my parents that often. Like, I saw them, but not like I used to.
Right.
Just like where I used to hang out with my friends, I saw them, but not like I used to.
Right.
And now it's my life is completely different. I see everybody and I talk to everybody, and it's just my whole life is, everyone sees I'm happier. And then the real Carson's back. The real Carson is here again. It's a nice feeling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of sort of knew that I wanted to meet somebody that had faith, and that's all I knew. So, yeah.
And how did that come along then?
And, well, like I said, at first, like you meet somebody, and then you pop the question, like, "Hey, do you have faith?" "Oh, no, you don't." "Oh, all right. Oh, sorry, this ain't gonna work. See ya."
Thanks for the coffee.
but that usually came out over the phone, right? Okay. Or via texts and stuff that, right? But yeah, it just didn't pan out the way I wanted it to. So, but when I met my wife now, that was uh, question I asked her, and yeah, that changed everything. Because yeah, she says, "Oh yeah, I got faith." And so at the time, my office was downtown on the corner of Richter and Harvey there in Kelowna, and Danica, my wife now, was on the first floor, and I was on the third floor.
Okay.
So I happened to be going over to Starbucks one day for a coffee, and I was walking over to Starbucks, and she was walking behind me, and I just held the door open for her just to be a nice guy, and we started chatting in lineup, and that's how we met.
Really? Over before even a coffee?
Yeah.
Starbucks, that's
so
funny.
So we were in Starbucks in the line waiting to get served. I held the door open for her, and she said, "Well, thank you very much." We just, you know, small talk. And not thinking anything of it. Like, not thinking anything of it. And the end of the conversation, she says, "Oh, can I have your, you know, can I have your number? Can I," right? And, but little did I know, she's in the financial industry, and she wasn't looking at someone that she was interested in.
Okay.
She looked at me as a potential client.
Right.
She had no desire at the time in her life to date, to meet anybody, nothing.
She was networking.
Right? She was networking. Mm-hmm. I left there going back to the office, going to like my fellow coworkers, going, "You won't believe this woman I just met. She's so beautiful. She's so gorgeous. She just asked for my phone number, right? I gave her my business card. I can't believe this." And she went back to her office going, "Got another potential client."
Oh, that's funny.
Right? So she was focused on her own personal things at the time. She was going through a bit of a divorce herself. And at the time in her life, she was just focused on her family.
Yeah.
Because she's got two kids of her own. And that's all she focused on.
Yeah.
All right. She was on her, it was her work and her family. All right. Her kids. She did, yeah. So the idea of dating was just not happening.
Not there.
So we had talked, her and I, a few times back and forth. Basically kind of, it didn't go anywhere, right? So I thought, okay, she's not interested. You know, it's not going to happen. So I actually started to date somebody else. And was still very interested in Danica, but didn't want to push her too much because you could tell it just, she wasn't, that wasn't part of her life right now. So 4 months went by. During that time, I basically, I had not, didn't start dating someone else right away.
Right,
took a while to meet somebody and then started dating them for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And during that 3 weeks, I realized that, you know, this girl actually isn't the one for me. I'm gonna call it off, right? I had full intentions of calling it off. But during that, Danica happened to call me. She was doing another promotion run at her work. And she called me, and she always jokes about this, that she thought, well, she was having an open house at her work, and she needed to fill the seats.
Okay.
So she thought, "Oh, I know who I'm going to call. I'll call Carson. He'll come." So she called me up and asked me, and I was like, "Hey, how you doing? Good to hear from you, blah, blah." And so she invited me to her open house at her work. And I said, "Yeah, I'll be there for sure. Guaranteed. I'm coming." Right. So I got down there, and after it was all over and done with, she looked at me and she was like, "I guess I kind of owe you that date now, don't I?"
Aww.
And I said, "Yeah, you kind of do." It's funny. I rode the motorcycle down there. And after that was over, I actually went out to my bike and called up the girl I was currently dating and said, you know, like, which I was planning on calling it off prior.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I totally. I'm being honest here.
Yeah.
Right. Basically called it off right there. Right. Yeah. I called it off. And then about 2 weeks later, Danica and I went out on our first date, and that was April 6th of 2018.
Okay.
Or 19, sorry.
Yeah. And so that was the one, you got engaged and.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. So on our, that evening, prior to the date, she wanted to cancel. She was so nervous.
Oh.
And, she was married for a long time herself.
Right.
Never really, she basically married her high school sweetheart.
Okay.
And, well, that dinner date turned into a 7-8 hour evening.
Oh,
like, it started at 6 and it went till like midnight.
Yeah.
All right. And it was a wonderful date. or maybe five it was, whatever. It turned into a long date.
Yeah.
And so we were walking along the beach in Kelowna here, and that's where I asked her if she had any faith.
Oh, okay.
And everything was going like just perfect, swimmingly. Like it was mm-hmm. just, I don't know how to describe it. It was just this feeling that was just, I really like this girl. And she felt the same way. Mm-hmm. So I asked her if she had faith, and she says, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm Mennonite Brethren. Well, that's what my parents
are. Right, your dad, yeah.
Well, I had this sudden, like I didn't tell her this at the time, but the back of my brain, I'm thinking, I want to call mom and dad. Like, I found the one. This is it. Right? But if I would have done that, she would have been like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I just stage left, you know? It was like, we spent every single day together after that. Like literally every mm-hmm. single day together.
Okay, so fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
So this was really a transition for you from just kind of saying, yeah, I have some faith, and now meeting somebody then mm-hmm. also in the same stage of her faith. I'm not sure, but together.
No, she was a lot further.
A lot further along. Okay.
A lot further than I
okay,
was.
Okay, okay.
She knows the Bible in and out, and she knows everything about it. And but she's got strong family values, mm-hmm. strong faith, mm-hmm. and being with her made me want to seek it more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Within 6 to 8 months of us being together, mm-hmm. we're talking marriage already. Mm-hmm. And which both of us, that was the funny thing. On our first date, both of us said we were never going to get married again.
Right.
I said it. She said it. We both, no way.
Yeah.
Because, right? So it was one of those things where we both discussed it and talked about it. And then what brought it on actually was that it got to the point where we've been together about a year and a bit, and Danica wanted to buy a home again, mm-hmm. and I wanted to buy a place with her. But at the time, prior to me meeting Danica, I went and bought a modular home. But I bought a modular home in a 45-plus neighborhood.
Right.
Because I just turned 45.
Yeah.
So I bought that, and like literally 6 months after I bought it, I met Danica, right? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where I had help with mom from my mom and dad, because I was restarting my life at 40, you know, and trying to redo your whole life and financially and everything. Mom and dad helped out a little bit mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. So when it got to the point of Danica and I wanted to buy a home together, I sat down with my mom and dad and told my mom and dad, like, this is what I'd like to do with Danica. We'd like to buy a house together. But I want your, I want to make sure it's okay with you, because you guys helped me get this place. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disappoint you if I sell this home.
Right, right.
And my dad basically said to both of us, he says, you know, hey, Carson, we love Danica. We think she's great. We think she's a wonderful woman. Right? Yeah, we'd love for you guys to buy a house together. But if you're going to do it, you guys should get married first. He goes, because as far as I'm concerned, having a mortgage together is like a marriage. It's a commitment. And I looked at my dad, and I hadn't talked to my dad prior to that about marriage, because I didn't want it. Because my dad, when I was going through my divorce, mm-hmm. my mom and dad lived what I lived, because I'm very close with them.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to tell them I was thinking about it, because I didn't want them to get all worried that, oh, geez, here we go again.
Yeah.
Right? But they loved Danica. And they have a relationship with her that is just fantastic, which warms my heart too, because mm-hmm. my previous marriage, it wasn't there, right? Mm-hmm. Not the mm-hmm. way it is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we decided we're going to get married, and we basically planned a wedding within a month.
That's fine. That's great.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
It was, and in the middle of COVID.
Oh, wow. Not so easy.
So we got married August 8th, mm-hmm. 2020.
Okay.
During that time, we listed my home,
yeah.
Lost a couple of houses, right, and didn't get it. But going back to the faith, sorry, I got carried away on a tangent there. We still hadn't got really involved with the church yet. But mm-hmm. once we got decided to get married, we started going to church here and there. And what brought that on was, I remember it was a New Year's Eve. Danica and I were together. It was New Year's Eve, and we were at the Grand. We were making New Year's resolutions. And I looked at her and I said, I like to start going to church more. Hmm. And she said, really? And her face just lit up.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. I said, I actually wouldn't mind. So when we decided to get married, because it was COVID too, mm-hmm. we wanted to get wedding classes, right? Like the premarital classes.
Okay, yeah.
And we called around. So Danica talked to some people and we called around and, or she called around. I had nothing to do with it. And at the time, the only place that would give us marriage classes was Pastor Chris from Lakeview Baptist.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we met him and we hit it off. Chris is a very close friend of mine now. Mm-hmm. Him and I get along great. Mm-hmm. I cherish the times I have with him. Yeah, I got to ask questions about God and religion and everything and just... And he answered everything. Mm. And he was a very, very great man, right? Mm. So we took the marriage classes. We got married. We bought a house. Then once we moved into the house, which is just up the road here on Reese Road, we wanted to start going to church. So we thought, let's go explore what's around our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the first church we came to was Emmanuel.
Oh, wow. Number one.
Yes. Yeah. We just felt welcome right off the bat. We started going every Sunday. And... I was liking it and it was good. But then we came to church one Sunday and I was miserable. Danica could feel the negative energy off of me. She's a very positive, outgoing woman and she's full of positivity, like just full of, that is her, mm-hmm. right? But we got here and I kind of was like upset, grumpy. And I started thinking, going, you know, we've been coming here like 5-6 weeks now, every Sunday. I'm not riding motorcycle anymore now because that's what I do on Sundays is we usually go for rides. Not hanging out with my friends anymore. What is going on here? So I just kind of threw a fit. I'll be honest. I kind of threw a fit and was like, I'm not doing this anymore, right?
Gotcha.
I'm out of here, right? Yeah. And I started thinking about my childhood and I was like, you know, kind of standoffish from religion and what am I doing and how come all of a sudden I'm doing this? I'm going to lose my Sundays. I'm going to lose this and I'm going to get sucked into this cult and, you know, this is what happened, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's that little voice in your head, one on the shoulder is the bad angel and the good angel, right?
It was the devil.
That was the devil, yeah.
It was the devil seeing that faith was coming into my life.
Right.
And he was coming after me to get me out.
Yeah.
Danica's already praying for me in her head. She's like, oh, please, Lord, just see that he gets through this, blah, blah. And I'm just like going, what the heck? Well, Pastor Phil was speaking that day, and he was doing the sermon. And it's a shame that I don't remember what he was saying, okay? It really is, because it was a significant moment, because I'm throwing this fit. I'm getting upset. Danica can see it, right? We're sitting there at the church, we're in about the third row up. And all of a sudden, it was like Phil was speaking directly to me. Even though it was like the whole church was full.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was like Phil was speaking to me and me only. Hmm. And God was speaking to Phil and Phil was speaking to me through God. Mm-hmm. By the end of the sermon, I am bawling my eyes out.
Wow.
Like full on.
Wow.
Just. And I unfortunately can't remember. Like I honestly just, it just, whatever, it just it struck me so much that I looked at Danica and I went to go talk to Danica and I'm like, and I said to her, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry for acting the way I was. And I started talking about my childhood and everything and life and, you know, all that stuff. And I just started crying. And I just started bawling. And I hadn't met Phil yet because we'd only been going to the church four or five times. I hadn't met Jeff, hadn't met Phil, haven't met anybody. So it was such a strong influence that I actually had to go up to Phil and introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And I went up to him, I told him, and I got tears coming down my face. I'm crying and I'm just trying to explain what had just happened. And I looked at him, I said, I don't know you, man, but can I have a hug? Like, I have to have a hug.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, by all means, because, you know, Phil, right? Yeah, he's just that kind of guy.
That's great, yeah.
And so I explained to him what had just happened, and he thought it was a wonderful thing, and I thought it was a wonderful thing. So they gave me that welcome package,
yeah,
right? And said, hey, blah, blah.
And from there, we asked if there was like a men's group or something to that effect. And from there forth, I wanted to be involved with the church. I wanted to go to church. Yet half hour earlier, I was throwing a fit going, I'm not coming here anymore.
Wow.
I'm going to lose. Like,
yeah.
When I started actually getting involved with religion, that was one of my struggles, was that I started coming here on Sundays. And my group of friends that I hang out with out here, like, they have their own beliefs. Mm-hmm. Not that they're against religion, but it wasn't something you talk about. It's not something you bring up. And to this day, it's like, I know that, okay, that person I can talk to about God, but this guy, if I bring it up, it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like that with certain people, right?
Yeah.
Not that they're against it. It's just not part of their life yet. They haven't seen what I've seen.
Right.
They haven't felt the beauty, the warmth, the love, right? And that's the funny thing. So I was afraid to tell some of my friends that I was going to church.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? I was actually worried that I might lose them as a friend. Like, these are thoughts that go through your head.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Right? You know, and that was one of my thoughts that Sunday. Like, okay. I'm going to lose my friends. Yeah. And I tried so hard to have friends.
Yeah.
Because at one point in my life, friends were everything. Friends was like, without friends, there's no Carson. Right?
Yeah.
So, and that goes back to my childhood, right? Because like, my elementary school years weren't that great.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it was very important for me to have that kind of stuff. But so when I started going to church, I was worried that I might lose my friends, might lose things like my weekends, my freedom. And man, was I wrong. Oh gosh, was I wrong. Right? Because now all my friends know that I go to church. They all know I've been baptized. They all know, you know, my close friends that are.
Yeah.
You know, I got friends on Facebook that I haven't talked to in years that probably don't know.
Yeah.
But my life has changed significantly, right?
Right.
So like I said, I honestly think it all started when I met Danica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am convinced, like 100% convinced, that when I walked through those doors at Starbucks, that my grandfather and Danica's grandfather and other people that have passed away were mm-hmm. all sitting there with God.
Yeah.
Going, hey, watch this. Here he goes. Here he goes. Carson's going to meet Danica. Here you go. This is how his life's going to change.
Yeah, yeah. Aww.
I'm convinced.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, back to, and then I found out that Phil rode motorcycle. And that once I found he rode motorcycle, I rode motorcycle.
Now you're here with the motorcycle riding friend on a Sunday.
Yeah. So, it was great. It was really good. I started to get involved in church more. By that time, Danica and I were already volunteering in the coffee bar. Right, so we had already been gone and volunteered in the coffee bar. I met Jeff a few times privately, told him my whole life story. He met Danica. We did the discovery class here. Everything started to fall into place. Mm-hmm. At that time, we wanted to do Alpha.
Right.
And unfortunately, still with COVID and everything, I think COVID was over, but Alpha still wasn't around.
Yeah.
So I contacted Pastor Chris again from Lakeview Baptist.
Hmm.
And yeah, he did Alpha with Danica and I one-on-one again.
Oh, amazing.
Right?
Wow.
And so my friendship with Pastor Chris grew even more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm really starting to love this. Like, I'm starting to love it. I remember going to Alpha courses, and the moment I would walk into the Alpha course, it was like I go sit down with Danica and Chris, and we go, you know, and the moment I would sit down, it was like God put like a blanket over my shoulders, and you know, the warmth, the feeling, mm-hmm. the just the one-on-one, it was such a wonderful feeling.
That's excellent. Wow.
So I knew that I liked where I was going and where things were going. And meanwhile, we're still coming here.
Mm-hmm.
Danica and I are working the coffee bar once a month. You know, she's loving the fact that I'm, you know, doing this. And so as things progressed, you could see my parents were thrilled. Right? Danica's happy. You know, the talk of baptism came up. And that's where I started to back off again, going, oh, no. What's happening? Brakes,
that's a bit far out, too much.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Because it just got me nervous, right? Yeah.
It's like a trigger, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It was 100%. Mm-hmm. 100% like a trigger. Danica really wanted me to get baptized. Like, really wanted me to get baptized. And anytime we brought it up, it was an uncomfortable feeling for me.
Sure.
And I was always like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but I want to do it when I want to do it. Not when someone's telling me to do it. Yeah. Leave me alone. Like, yeah. I don't want to discuss it. I like where I'm at right now. Just leave me alone. I'm going to church. I believe in God. Just, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
You know, I go to men's group. Come on, you know, like, you know.
That counts.
You know, I'm helping out the coffee bar. You know, I got the relationship. I took Alpha. Like, come on, guys. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. You know?
So that's, I remember doing that quite often and going, I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's another great story. Oh, I just remembered that one. So it bothered me quite a bit, the people, like the baptism. And I remember they were doing baptisms on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
So we came to school, we came to church here on Easter Sunday.
Okay.
And they were doing a baptism on Easter Sunday. They had three or four that planned that day. And I was actually offended by it. Right? And I'm going, why are you getting baptized on Easter Sunday? This is about, you know, Jesus, and he came back to life. Mm-hmm. This is about him. It's not about someone getting baptized. What are you doing? Like, it actually offended me. Like, wow. I was really, like, going, this is not, we should be worshiping Jesus right now, not celebrate. And everyone would see the people get baptized, and they get dunked in the water because it was here at the church. And everyone's cheering and everything, and all happy, and congratulations, and wow, right? And I'm going, I don't even know you. And why am I getting excited
like
for you?
Like, it wrecked your Easter Sunday.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, we should be celebrating Jesus mm-hmm. here. Like, what? He came back to life. Like, mm-hmm. come on. Like, actually, I was quite offended by the idea of doing a baptism on Easter Sunday. So I explained that to my dad and a couple of people every once in a while going, I just don't agree with this. You know, like, I like church. Mm-hmm. I like God. I like Jesus. I like the feeling I get when I go. But the idea of doing it on Easter Sunday, like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually mm-hmm. really bothered me.
Wow.
And just because I felt like that was a day for Jesus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at it now. I'm so wrong. You ask my wife, she'll tell you that, yeah, I'm the kind of guy that will see something like that, I'll throw a fit, I'll be totally against it, but then I'll calm down, relax, and be like, oh, yeah, hang on.
Wait a sec, I get that now.
I get it now. That's beautiful. And she just shakes her head and goes, oh, my gosh. You know, like, because yeah. she gets it right off the bat.
Yep.
She's listening to me rant and rave, but it doesn't make it, you know, I'm making new sense, but I think in my mind, I'm going, oh, I'm making perfectly good sense. I know what I'm talking about. Meanwhile, I don't. So it was one of those situations where we came out on Easter Sunday, that happened. And so that, in my mind, kind of pushed me back even further again. Like, I'm not getting baptized, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So a year went by. We had been coming to the church now. And mm-hmm. now here it is Easter Sunday again. And they're doing baptisms again. And I'm going, oh, great, here we go. This is, you know, like, I'm going in here like, yes, I'm going to church. Right. And I've been going to men's. I'm loving the idea of faith. And we've been volunteering at the coffee bar. And everything, like I said, going great.
Yeah.
But this idea of getting baptized on Easter Sunday bothered me. And it was the same kind of thing again. I got there that day to church and I was against it, thinking this is great. This isn't good. This isn't right. And for whatever reason, I know it now. God was speaking to me again. All of a sudden that day, I remember going, I'm getting baptized. I'm doing it right now.
Really? Wow.
Like, I felt it so strong that day. Because
mm-hmm.
I saw the first few baptisms. If Pastor Jeff would have said, is there anyone else here right now that wants to get baptized? It would have been right then and there. Like, I just took a completely, just, it, same kind of thing. It just struck me, like with Phil. Hmm. Just boom. And I left there going, I looked it down and I go, I want to get baptized. Like, I want to get it done now. It was that extreme feeling of, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I feel this. I love this. The warmth, the love, God was, you know, it was there.
Hmm.
So much so that after the service was over, I went up to Jeff. I went, I want to get baptized. So I told Jeff how I felt and how I, during the service, that again, after the baptism, I felt like I got to do this. I even told him, like I said, if you would have asked, I would have gone up right then and there. Hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But I also said to him, I go, I want to do this. And so we decided that we were going to do it. But I want to do it. I want to do it quick before this fades away. Like
you're worried about your own.
Well, yeah, I was worried that if it was something that I didn't do sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over time, it might.
You start hearing that voice again, the doubt again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and not that I don't want to stop going to church. I just was concerned. And so I was just, so then we kept on talking back and forth, and you know, and I thought there might be a. Like some baptism courses or something that I had to take or whatever. But so, you know, every time I went to church, I was coming, well, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized. Right. And as time progressed, cause this is now that, so Easter was what, April?
Yeah.
Right. So I got baptized in July.
Okay.
So we're talking May, June, July, right? So we're like 3 months, but that 3 months was a long 3 months.
Wait, now that right? you decided.
So it was, it was a long 3 months, but I also was kept on pushing Jeff and Phil and telling Danica I wanted to get baptized. Like I said, I just didn't want the feeling to wear off, though.
Right.
So I met Pastor Val, and we talked about baptism and what would happen and when it's going to happen, and talked about, well, why do you want to get baptized? What brought it on? And and it was like an interview. And after it was over, I asked her straight out. I said, I got to ask her. I said, have you ever met somebody that wants to get baptized? And after you've interviewed them, you've said, nah, I don't think this person's actually ready yet.
Okay.
Because I was curious, right?
Yeah.
Like, am I ready?
Yeah.
Like, am I ready to take on this challenge? One of my fears was that if I get baptized, I now have to live up to God, what God and Jesus have planned for me. Mm-hmm. I got to live up to that. Mm-hmm. And what if I can't? Mm-hmm. What if I can't live up to that? Mm-hmm. Right? I was scared. Right? I remember being and going, that was one of my fears, was that what if I don't live up to God's expectations?
Yeah.
Right? And I was just like, wow, how do I do this? Like, and so it was one of those things. And again, it was like, it was almost like going back to when I first started going to church, how I got scared of getting involved with the church, losing my friends, losing everything. If I get baptized, I've gone that next level now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll lose my friends now.
It's a commitment that you knew you were going to take, but it was hard to think, how am I going to keep this commitment now?
Yeah, yeah.
What if I'm not good enough for God?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there used to be a joke where, you know, like, hey, if Carson walks through those church doors, he's going to burn up in flames with the life he had. Right? Like, seriously.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? You know, and that was the talk. Like I said, I didn't have faith before. I knew but it just, my life was completely different, you know?
Yeah.
I would tell the bad jokes, you know, I do tell womanizing jokes, and I was doing the drinking and the dating, and I was a completely different person.
Yeah.
And not that I'm like, I've changed, but I can still be that person, but know that my faith and my religion, like, I don't be that way anymore, though. That's the funny thing, too. Mm-hmm. With my friends, they can see that I've changed. I'm different. Mm-hmm. But they accept me for who I am. They don't, you know, and these are the strong friends I've had since, like, high school.
Right, right, right.
That, you know, that are really close to me.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and if some people don't care for my religion faith, well, then, you know, hey, that's your choice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to push it on you. But if you ever ask me a question, I'm going to answer it.
Yeah.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's July and you got baptized in the lake?
Yeah.
Warm enough now?
Yeah. Warm enough now. So
maybe that's why they put you off.
Yeah. It's too cold. Maybe. So we decided to do the baptism in the lake. And originally I thought it was just going to be me and some close friends, right, and my family. And then I realized it was going to be like 10 people. Then it was 12. Then it was 14. And then I was like, I started getting cold feet. Because I'm going, okay, well, like, this has no meaning anymore. And so, like, all these people are doing it, you know? I remember talking to a couple of people in men's group now. My buddy Chad in men's group. I remember calling him up numerous times going, I don't know about this. I'm kind of freaking out here, you know? And he thought I was going to back out a couple of times. And I thought I was too. Because it got to be this big, huge thingy. And I thought, I don't want it to be a big, huge thingy. I don't want this to be a production. I don't want it to be this big, huge hoopla. This is about me and God, not me and X amount of people that I don't know. Right? And I actually got a little cold feet. All right? And then when I had to write my testimony out, that was difficult. I said, wow, what do I say? What do I do? Like, how do I do it? And I got my testimony here, but it all seemed to flow once I got it done. Right. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful day. My mom and dad came up. They couldn't be more proud because they said they were basically prayed over me for 25 years for that day to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Danica was thrilled and just her faith is so strong. Her personality is so strong. The love that her and I have is just nothing I've ever felt before in my life. I can truly say she's my best friend, partners for life. I'm so happy I met her. And without her, I wouldn't be where I am. 100%. It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, God really brought her to you.
100%. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, God is, she's a blessing. And I'm so thankful because at one point in my life, like I said, there was a time there where I just thought, no, I'm going to end it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was a great day. So yeah, Pastor Eldon from the coast that married us, he came up that day, him and his wife. My mom and dad were there.
How about your kids and her kids? And
her kids were there, mine weren't. Unfortunately, mine weren't. I wanted them to be there, but they weren't. But that's another side of the story, unfortunately. Right?
Now you're going to be the praying father.
Yeah.
For your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's... the relationship I have with my boys right now, I have a good relationship with my oldest son. Unfortunately, with my youngest, it's not good. The divorce took a toll. And I know over time it may heal. But there's been numerous times during my faith journey that the story of the prodigal son has always come up. That's how it's going to be. When he comes home, or when he comes back, I'm going to welcome him with open arms. There's going to be no judgment, no nothing. I'll be thrilled that my boy's back. Right? And that's it's going to be the prodigal son.
Yeah. Right?
Just like my oldest, too.
Yeah.
Like, we have a relationship, but we don't see each other that often.
I see, yeah.
So, that story of the prodigal son really touches home with me.
Yeah.
It really touches home with me. Right? Mm-hmm. So, that story has come up numerous times in my faith journey. And every time it does, I think of my boys.
Yeah. There's a reason it's such a powerful, famous, long-lasting story. Yeah,
it is.
It does affect a lot of people.
It's wonderful. So.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like to finish with just two more questions. I ask everybody who's interviewing what Bible verse has had an impact on them. And so if you could share one that you wrote down and its impact on your journey or why.
Well, in my testimony, I basically said that the Bible verse for me that I think best described me going into my faith journey was 2 Corinthians verses 5:17. And I believe it describes me best because it says, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, right? So the old Carson has passed away, and the new has come, and I believe that you become something within before it manifests without. And that's, I believe that's true with me, because I believe I do become something within first. Right? Like, you start to enjoy the feelings, you start to enjoy the love, the warmth, and then it starts to manifest out. Right? So like I said, when I decided to, and so I believe that the new is gone and the old has come,
definitely.
Right?
So, yep.
And then, like, with me, I, you know, when I decided to surrender my life to Christ, nothing in my external world changed. Like my external, nothing changed, but my heart did, and the way I felt did. And showing up as this new creation added value to my life. I woke up looking at life differently.
Yeah.
Looking at things differently, knowing that God's there, right? And I started to be the person that God had created.
Yeah.
Because in essence, like, God's my father.
You were returning to your original.
Yeah, he's my father.
Purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, my dad is my dad, but mm-hmm. God is my mm-hmm. father. Mm-hmm. And he created me, right? So now I'm becoming that creation that he created. So it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, that's excellent, yeah.
Knowing that, so I really believe that the old is gone and the new
has come.
The new has come. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. My last question. So, you know, thinking about your life and your struggles and the depression you were through and the divorce that you went through, for people that might be facing similar circumstances or in a similar situation, mm-hmm. and maybe they had a faith basis as a young kid, or maybe they have parents or grandparents praying for them that they know about, but mm-hmm. faith is just not on their radar right now. Mm-hmm. What kind of encouragement would you offer those listening to you? And from where you were to where you are now, what would you say? What would you have liked to hear when you were in that place?
Well, that's the funny part. It's like when you're in that state, and if someone starts to talk faith to you, depending on when you are, you unfortunately, you don't want to hear it.
It's hit or miss, yeah.
it really is.
Yeah.
And during that time, you know, there was many times where people wanted to pray over me or try to help me out, right? And I took it and I listened. Did I act on it? No. So it's one of those things where you have to be willing to take it on and also willing to accept it. But it's difficult because of the state you're in, mm-hmm. right? But again, that falls back to I knew that was something I wanted, but I had to do it on, like, I had to have it brought on when I wanted it to, yeah. right? Because like I said, I was the one that approached Danica and said, I wanted to start going to church more often. But then again, meeting Danica and knowing that she had faith and she had been baptized herself and she had gone to church, that helped my journey progress.
Yeah.
Right?
It was easier to say at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd have the support. Yeah.
Right? You know, like, so when I would have dinner with Danica and her kids, and they would pray before eating, and I'd never done that prior, mm-hmm. right? It would only happen on special occasions where you pray before dinner. This is a regular occurrence every night now of my life, mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. I wake up and I thank the Lord for Danica. I wake up and I thank the Lord for my life. I am so blessed in my life currently right now. It's unbelievable. You know, my life is going, like, you know, like I said, my wife's my best friend. I got a great relationship with her children. I have a, you know, really good relationship with my parents, with the church. I got a good job. We're both working full time. And I got the Lord to thank for that, you know? And when you actually start realizing that is why, it changes everything. Right? It just makes you happy. It's that feeling knowing that, you know, and
you found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now with being baptized, I know when I pass, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be there. Right?
Yeah. See your grandfather.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't wait for that day. I was really close with that man. He was a great, wonderful person.
Hmm. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Carson. This is going to have a great impact on a lot of listeners. I just know because I don't think your story is, you know, unique in and of itself, because so many people are facing the same transition mm-hmm. and seeking the same things and coming through loneliness and depression and arriving and going, this was what I was trying to find all that time, mm-hmm. all those years. And now that's what true fulfillment is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly.
And it comes across in your voice and your passion for it. So
that's the thing. It just, it means so much to me. And I thank the Lord for meeting Danica, because if, like, honest to God, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, you never know. No. God was guiding, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming. And we just pray that this touches a lot of people's lives.
Thank you for having me.
All right.